जी अस्सलाम वालेकुम। औज़ु बिल्लाह मिनश शैतान रजीम, बिस्मिल्लाह रहमान रहीम, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह रब्बिल आलमीन, वस्सलातु वस्सलाम अला अशरफिल अंबिया वल मुरसलीन अबुल कासिम मुहम्मद, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. First of all, I would like to congratulate all of you mu'mineen, mu'minat out there that you have witnessed the month of Ramadan and that we are in this month of Ramadan. And as is the subject that we have at hand, which is the importance of the month of Ramadan, is one of those months, right, which is the month of Allah, and Allah has said this is the month of His Ummah. This month of Ramadan, and Allah, He mentions that this is the month of Ramadan, and that's why we are told to also say the month of Ramadan. You know, He says Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, meaning the month of Ramadan. That's why you see Ahlul Bayt emphasize the fact that, repeat what Allah has said, this is the month of Ramadan. It is not just one day, it is not just few days, but it is the whole month. Since the time you see the moon for the month, and until the time you see the moon for the month of Shawwal, this is the whole month of Ramadan. And here, Allah has made us in this month a guest. He says that as a believer, as a mu'min, you have been made guests of Allah in this month. We have been told that we are the guests of Allah, and hence we are He is the host. Just when we look at this, just want to mention one thing regarding that, and that is that when you have a guest, when you invite a guest to your house and you are the host, how would you treat your guest? Meaning, for example, when you invite someone as a guest and you are a generous host and you are a good host, so obviously, if you had the choice, would you give him the best food that you have, or would you give him the leftovers? If you have a guest, how would you treat him? The sign of your treatment of your guest shows how good of a guest you are. So when we invite a guest, obviously we will make sure that we give him the best that we have, that we give him the best food that we have, the best food that we prepared, in the best dishes, in the best method, the best way. Why? Because this shows, this is a sign of us being a host. And this is the way in which the principle of being a host and what it means to be a host stands for. That we are looking to please our guest and give him the best. Allah has made us a guest and invited us in the month of Ramadan. And He said that in this month you are my guest. So obviously Allah, He serves us the best. And here is where we need to understand, what is the best that Allah serves us? What is the best thing that He offers us? What is the best thing that He gives us? You see, understand this. In the month of Ramadan, we are Allah's guest, and He gives us an offering that is called fasting. Meaning, in the month of Ramadan, this is Allah's treatment that He makes us fast. We are His guest, and He's making us fast. In other words, the greatest thing that Allah is offering us is to stay away from the desires of the nafs. This is Allah's being a host and us being a guest. This is Allah who is treating us as a host, as a generous host, is saying that the best thing for you is to stay away from the desires of your stomach and the desires of your nafs. Just understand what this means. That we are told to fast while we are the guest of Allah. In other words, stay away from the food, stay away from the drinks, stay away from those things that give pleasure to our nafs. Stay away from those things that is best for you. Just, there was a person who came to a mosque, and he was hungry. He came to the mosque of the Prophet, and he was hungry at night. He was hungry, and he came there, and he was making dua. And he was a believer, and he was asking Allah, that Allah, I am here at your Prophet's mosque, and I am making dua to you, you know, give me my rizq. I want my rizq, I am hungry, and give me the best rizq that you have for me. And he prayed, and he kept on praying. All night long, he kept on praying. Morning came. He was thinking that he was going to get some food that's going to come at night, but the food never came. The food never came. And so he had a complaint. He went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I came to your mosque and I prayed to Allah for rizq. And I didn't get anything. How is that? This is your masjid, and I prayed, and I believe in Allah, and He still did not give me my rizq. And I asked Him for the best rizq. So, the Messenger of Allah, he asked Allah, that Allah, he has a complaint. Allah revealed to the Prophet that let him know that we gave him his rizq. He says, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. Where is the rizq? He says, ask him what he asked me. He said, I asked you for the best rizq. So Allah said that the best rizq for you, the best nourishment for you, the best provision for you is not to have food. That was the best nourishment. And he couldn't understand it. And Rasulullah explained to him. He says, because Allah, the best nourishment, the best rizq that you can get is that which reminds you of Allah. And because I saw that you were making a connection with me, you were making dua to me, you were worshipping me by not having food. If I had given you the food, you would have gone away from the worship. You would have gone away from making the dua. You would have gone away from remembering me. Because I didn't give you the food, because I did not send you the rizq, because I didn't send you the food, that's why you kept on remembering me the whole night. In other words, the best rizq that we can get is that which reminds us of Allah. And Ramadan is that month in which we are the guest of Allah, but Allah is keeping us hungry because He knows that this is the best risk for us, because this is what's reminding us of Allah. This is what helping us to connect with Allah. Food is not that thing which helps us to connect with Allah. We see not having food is sometimes the best risk that you can get. Sometimes the best nourishment that you can get. And this is why you see that in this month of Allah, where we are His guest, Allah is making us go hungry. Because this is the best risk Allah can give us in this dunya. In this dunya, the idea is that if you stay away from your desires and with the things that which give pleasure to your desires, that is the best gift that we can get. That is the best risk that we can get from Allah. And this is why we see that Ramadan is a blessing. It is a blessing. And you see, Allah, He mentions that in the Quran. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you. Is prescribed for you. It has been made wajib on you. Like it was made wajib on those before you. So that you may become pious. If you read this ayat, it starts off with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam had said that the hardships of obligations, meaning the burden of obligations, has been removed. Meaning that obligations are not a burden anymore. You know, that because when you have an obligation, if you are told to do something and it becomes an obligation, then you see it's a burden on you. And Imam is saying that the burden of obligation is removed because of how Allah addressed us, how Allah spoke to us, what title He used for us. He says, O you who believe. By calling us believer, the hardship and burden of obligation has been taken away from us. Meaning, now we, when we look at worship, when we look at an obligation, we know that this is making us a believer in the view of Allah, in Allah's view. So that should be enough for us to do the obligation without the burden, but really out of love and out of devotion, not of sincerity. So that is the first part. But when we get to the next part, he says, fasting has been made wajib on you, like it was made wajib on before you, on those before you, so that you may become pious. There are three parts to this ayat. One is in the present tense, one is in the past tense, and one is in the future tense. One is for the present, one is for the past, and one is for the future. Right? There's a past, present, and future. The past is that fasting has been prescribed for those who have been there before you. On those people who came before you. Right? And here, again, our Imams have mentioned that Allah did not make fasting wajib on the nations before us. When the Imam mentioned that, so one of the companions read this ayat for him and said, but Allah says this in the Quran that He has made it wajib on those before you. So how can you say that it wasn't made wajib on those before you? So the Imam is saying, what I'm saying is the truth. That fasting has not been made wajib on those before us, before this ummah. It hasn't made wajib on any ummah before this. And so he asks, but Allah is saying this, how can you say that? He says, yes, what Allah is saying is also the truth. What Allah is saying is also the truth. He says, but how can that be? That seems like a contradiction. Imam is saying, now understand this. Before this nation, it wasn't wajib on any nation before this. when Allah speaks that it was wajib on those before you, it means that it wasn't wajib on the nations. Before this nation, it was wajib on the Anbiya and the leaders of those nations, the Awliya of those nations, the Anbiya of the nations, the prophets and the messengers. That fasting is that obligation that Allah had made and I had deemed only obligatory on the prophets and the messengers. He only deemed them to be capable of carrying out this obligation. And this is a pride for the nation of our Prophet that Allah has deemed them capable of doing an obligation that before this only prophets were capable of doing. And this is why you see that this is something that we can look at and say that Allah has made this wajib on us. It is something that we can look back at. So the one is history. The history is that it was wajib on the prophets and the Anbiya and the Awliya before us. The present is that it is wajib on you. Just like it's wajib on them. You have to carry out this obligation. You have to carry out this obligation. This is the present tense. This is your obligation today. Then the third part is the future. And that is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious. Meaning that if you carry out this obligation, then this will lead you to taqwa, this will lead you to piety. We see in our life, in the example that we have, examples that we have in our life, and through our own fasting, a lot of times we see this, right? That we go through the whole month of Ramadan. And how many months of Ramadan have we gone through? And we see that a lot of times, the way we started out the month, right? When we go through the month, obviously we are in a certain, more of a spiritual state. And at the end of the month, we are at the height of our spirituality. Then the year goes by. And when we see the next Ramadan, we find ourselves again at the same place that we started last year's Ramadan. We don't see that improvement. We don't see the result of taqwa. This is, you know, something that you can analyze in your own self and see this, that, well, Allah is saying that if you fast, you become muttaqi, you become pious. But we see that we fast, we go through the whole month, and by the time we reach the next month, we're in the same place that we started last year's fast. Well, what is the reason? Right? What is the reason for that? And this is why a lot of times we make mistakes in knowing what is fasting. When you look at the book of rules, you know, it is mentioned that, you know, there are, you know, 9 things you stay away from while you fast. You know, eating, drinking, immersing your head in water, you know, intercourse, you know, and all the things that are there. 9 things that are there that invalidate your fast. We look at those things, and hence, to us, fasting in the month of Ramadan is limited to those 9 things. Obviously, those things have to be stayed away from for fasting. You have to stay away from that when you fast. But in the month of Ramadan, it's more than that. It's not just those 9 things. It's more than that you have to do in the month of Ramadan. In other months, if you do those 9 things, you're okay. But in the month of Ramadan, it's different. You have to do more than that. You know, obviously, because of the fact that when you are not in the month of Ramadan, just staying away from those 9 things is hard because everyone else is eating and you're not. Everyone else is doing the normal things and you're not. So doing those 9 things itself is a jihad. But in the month of Ramadan, when everyone else is fasting, when everyone else is not eating, when everyone else is not drinking, so obviously not eating and drinking is not a big thing. So that's not the standard in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, the standard is raised. This is why when we look at a lot of times when we fast, we see that we don't get the result of fasting. When Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked that what is fasting, he clarified it for us, made it clear for us. The fasting is not just staying away from food and drinks, but fasting is more than that. He said, fasting is not just done through your stomach, but you have to make your eyes fast, you have to make your tongue fast, you have to make your ears fast, your hands fast, and every part of your body must fast. And if you do that, then this is what fasting means in the month of Ramadan. Just what does that mean? You see, if you look at your eyes, just pay attention to your eyes. See what they look at. Just if you have ever noticed your eyes and see how they wander around and do, it's like, you know, it's like as if they have their own mind and they do what they want to do. But you'll see your eyes, you know, they just look around. Even when you tell your eyes not to look, you see they don't listen to you. They do what they want to do. You know, your eyes have become a problem child. You know, you have a child who throws tantrums, who doesn't listen to you. He has his own mind and he does what he wants. He doesn't do what you want. When you see a child like that, you know, you ask him to do something, he doesn't. Well, your eyes have become like that, you know, I mean, they just look around. They just see things and later on you regret, why did I see it? And they put you in embarrassing and awkward situations because they are like a wild animal, untamed. They just do what they want to do. And your tongue is the same way. It says what it wants to say, and you see that it'll say things that you will regret later and apologize for later and be embarrassed in front of others later because your tongue doesn't listen to you. It has its own mind. It just says it. Your ears are the same way. They just listen to what they want to listen to. You know it's haram. You know it's wrong. But your ears can't stop. I mean, they don't want to listen to you. They just do what they want to do. They will listen to haram. They will listen to music. They will listen to all these things. And they don't listen to you. They are a problem child. All of these parts of your body, you have lost control over them. They are like your problem child. They don't listen to you. And hence, fasting of the eyes means get your eyes under your control. Tell your eyes what they must do. Tell your eyes what they must do and make them do it. If you don't want them to see something, stop them from seeing it. Tell your tongue what it needs to say and what it doesn't need to say. And make it. Get it under your control. Your ears, your hearing, they are out of control. Get it under control. Listen to only that which you want it to listen to. And this is what it means that your eyes must fast, your tongue must fast, and your ears must fast, and the rest of the part of the bodies, everything must fast. In other words, get yourself under your control. Make sure that your eyes are listening to you and are obedient to you. This, when we have this idea of fasting in our mind, then that fasting will lead to taqwa. That fasting will lead and result in us becoming pious. That's how we reach that goal. When Allah says la'allakum tattaqoon, it's because of the fact that if you fast the way our imams have advised us to fast, then you see truly that will be fasting. Otherwise, it's just being hungry and thirsty. Right? And fasting will not be different from dieting. Allah didn't say that you need to diet in the month of Ramadan. Allah said you need to fast in the month of Ramadan. Fasting doesn't mean dieting, that you diet. Fasting means something else. Right? And that's what we must understand in this month of Ramadan. This is what we must be doing. And when we do that, then you'll see the results of fasting will be apparent in us. It will be apparent in us. Now, just one last note that's there, and that is that fasting is a very strong weapon Allah gave us. As I said, before us, it was wajib on the Anbiya. Anbiya had this weapon. Allah gave that weapon in the hands of believers. Fasting is a very strong weapon, and it's such a strong weapon and such a strong shield and such a strong force that Shaitan also gives up in the month of Ramadan. Shaitan gives up in the month of Ramadan, and he wants to now say that, you know what, I can't misguide people. It's too difficult for me to misguide people. So Shaitan takes a break. He is locked up. He is not where he's supposed to be. He goes to his whatever friends, and you know, he's somewhere else. He doesn't come around. He knows that it's useless for him because fasting is that strong of a force. And hence, in the month of Ramadan, if someone does make a mistake and he does not do right and he is misguided, then he should know that it's not because of Shaitan, it's because of himself. It's because of his own self. Hence, because we have been told Shaitan is not there, so now, if we do wrong, if we make mistakes, if we do something, we cannot blame Shaitan now. We have to blame ourselves. And hence, the month of Ramadan is the best time to know our own self. Who am I? This is the best time to know, because Shaitan is not at play anymore. Now it is your own nafs that's at play. It's in your own desires that's at play. Now Shaitan is not misguiding you. Now it is you. I mean, so you have to now understand. This is the best time Allah gave us, the whole month of Shaitan not being there, to recognize our own self. If we are weak, whether we are strong, whether we are this, whatever you are, you will know in the month of Ramadan, because Shaitan is not there. And if you're still doing wrong, then it means that it was never because of Shaitan, it was always because of yourself. It was always because of yourself. And in the month of Ramadan, if you see that you're not doing wrong, then you can understand that, yes, if this is happening to me, it's happening because of Shaitan. You know, he's the one who's putting these things in mind. This is the best time that you can analyze yourself. And Allah has given us that chance. So let's make use of that chance and make ourselves understand ourselves so that we can reach or we can gain and acquire the results of fasting, which is taqwa, and gain the station of being muttaqi. Because one of the things in this month is the shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And you see that Imam Ali is Imamul Muttaqi. Just last note that if we become muttaqi, if we become pious, then Imam Ali becomes our imam. You see, he's Amirul Mu'mineen, meaning he's the chief of the believers, and he's the Imam of the Muttaqeen. You don't see he's the Imam of the Mu'mineen, right? He's the Imam of the Muttaqeen. And if we make ourselves Muttaqi, then rightfully Imam Ali will become our Imam. And if you're not Muttaqi, then Imam Ali is not our Imam, because he is the one who leads those who are pious. Inshallah, I ask Allah that He helps us to reach that station of taqwa. Inshallah, I will end over here. If anyone wants to ask any questions, go ahead. Yes, I'm done. Yes, Slava Alik, but how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you doing? Is a ghusl required for suhoor? I can understand the question. He's asking if ghusl is required for suhoor. No, ghusl is not required for suhoor. You have to eat suhoor, you mean? No, there's no need for ghusl, right? You know, before suhoor. Alaikum salam. Okay. He's asking that while we are fasting, can we rinse our mouth with water? Yes, you can, as long as the water does not go in your throat. Now, if there is danger, meaning that if you are sure that the water is going to go in your throat, or if you doubt that most probably is going to go in your throat, right, then you should not do it. But if you are used to it, meaning that you know that the water is not going to go there, you can do it. If accidentally it goes there, it won't break the fast. Accidentally, right? But the issue is that the whole thing is that you have to be careful that it doesn't go in the throat. That's the main thing.
عليكم السلام. You can brush your teeth. She's asking us, what can we do about the bad breath while we are fasting? You are allowed to brush your teeth, right? As long as nothing goes in your throat. If it's in the mouth, it's all right. It should not go in your throat. Welcome. Well, you know, I mean, it's not about the Imam, right? And obviously, this is Shahrullah, it's Allah's month, and in Hadith also, it is the month of the Ummah. He's asking, you know, what month, which Imam has this month pertained to? No, I mean, there's no such thing like that, right? This is the month of Allah. In Hadith, we have that this is the month of the Ummah. And obviously, because of the fact that Imam Ali is Shaheed in this month, so obviously, you know, we remember him in this month. You know, that's all I can say in this regard. But there's no such thing, you know, that it's okay, this is named after this Imam. Yeah. You're welcome. Inshallah.